Sutta Maharaj had ended his prayer by telling, "My dear Lord, you only don't ask us, you only decide what is best and give me whatever is what you think is best for me." So Maitreya uvach ityadirajena nitasva vishvadrik tamaharajanna vibhaktirastute dishtye trishidir mayite krutayaya mayam madiyam taratisma dustyajam iti adirajena nitah. Thus being praised by Prithu Maharaj, Saha Vishwadrik, the Supreme Lord, who is the seer of this universe, Tam Aha, he spoke in response to Prithu Maharaj's prayer. He says, "O Rajan, Mai Bhaktir Astute, you asked for the best thing. You said, you decide whatever is best, you give it to me. So the Lord says, this is the best I have. Mai bhaktir astute. May you have bhakti to me." Like that. Dishya mai te krita idrishi dihi. Yaya taratisma madiyam dustyajam mayam. Hey, by good fortune you have placed me in your intelligence. And by this, you will easily cross over this insurmountable maya potency. So basically he says that you asked for the best thing, and the best thing that I have is devotional service, so you take it. So Srila Vishnadeva Thakur writes that by giving bhakti, the Lord concludes that bhakti and nothing else is beneficial. That's the conclusion. Because you said, you give me what is the most beneficial and you don't ask me, that I may end up asking something else. It's fine. Take bhakti. So Prabhupada writes, this conclusion is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, where Krishna says, Daivi yesha gunamai mamamaya duratyaya mameve prapadyante maya metantarantite. The only way to cross over this insurmountable ocean of material existence is by surrender to the Supreme Lord, by performing devotional service. Therefore, devotional service is the only way to cross over this ocean of material existence. Therefore, a pure devotee should not care for his material situation and he must be engaged in devotional service. Then one can overcome Maya. Like that. Then the Lord continues, he says, Tattvam kuru maya dishtam apramatta prajapate madadesha karo loka sarvatrapnoti shobanam. O prajapate, O protector of the population, apramatta, with great attention, tvam kuru maya adishtam. With great attention, you do as I have instructed you. Mat adesha karo lokaha sarvatra apnoti shobanam. Persons who follow my instruction attain the highest benefit under all conditions. Therefore, you just follow my instructions. With great attention follow my instructions, because those who follow my instructions, they attain the highest benefit under all conditions. Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the sum and substance of religious life is to execute the orders of the Supreme Lord. And the two most important orders given by the Supreme Lord are Manmana Bhava Madbhakto and Sarvadharman Parityajya. These are the primary principles of religion. Therefore, a real religionist is one who practices these two principles. Rest are all pretenders, Prabhupada says. For such a real religionist, there is only good fortune throughout the world. For one who follows these two principles of Sarvadharman Parityajya and Manmanabhavamad Bhakto, there is only good fortune and nothing else. Rest all are pretenders. Rest of the others who say that the ultimate instruction of the Supreme Lord is anything else, they are just pretenders, Prabhupada says. Maitreya uvacha iti vainyasya rajarshe pratinandyartavadvachah pujito nugrihitvainam gantum chakrechito matim. Accepting the meaningful words of Prithu Maharaj, the sage amongst kings, who was a sage amongst kings, and being worshipped by him, the Lord decided to leave. Achyutah gantum matim chakre. Again he decided, okay, so now I should leave. So Prabhupada commenting on this, pratinandya artavadvachaha, accepting the meaningful words. So Prabhupada writes, the Lord appreciates the meaningful prayers of his devotees. So what is meaningful in a devotee's prayers? Prabhupada writes, they do not even ask for liberation. They ask only for devotional service birth after birth. This is the most meaningful thing. Like that Prabhupada writes here. And that's what attracts the Supreme Lord. Okay, let's continue. Devarshi Pitra Gandharva Siddha Charana Pannagaha Kinnarapsara Somartyaha Kada Bhutanya Nekashaha Yajneshwara Diyaradnya Vagvittanjali Bhaktitaha Sabhajitaya Yasarve Vaikuntanu Gatastataha. With devotion, Prithu Maharaj worshipped the devatas, pitrus, gandharvas, siddhas, charanas, nagas, kinnaras, apsaras, human beings, birds, and many other living entities by folding his hands. By folding his hands, by his words and by wealth, thinking of them as representatives of the Lord of Sacrifice. So not only did he worship the Supreme Lord, but he worshipped all of the living entities who had assembled there, seeing them as representatives of the Supreme Lord, and obedient to the Lord, they all left that place. After the Lord left, others also, after receiving the worship of Prithu Maharaj and after paying their respects back, they all went back. Okay, let's continue. Bhagavanapi Rajarshe Sopadhyayasya Chachyutah Haran Iva Manomushya Swadana Pratyapadyata. The Lord who had captured the minds of Prithu Maharaj and the teachers also left for his abode. They also left. So here, Prabhupada commenting on this word Manoharan, he says, the Lord was attractive not only to Prithu Maharaj, not only to the Prithu Maharaj who was a pure devotee, but he was also very attractive to the priests who were attracted to the rituals. Both of them had different qualifications, but still the Lord was attractive to both of them. Therefore the Lord is called Krishna, meaning all attractive. And the Prabhupada here indicates that the Lord appeared as Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu to meet Prithu Maharaj. Like that he indicates. Adrishtaya namaskritya dapasandarshitatmane avyaktaya cha devanam devaya swapuram yayau. Offering respects to the Lord of the Devatas, who is not visible to material eyes and who was invisible to others, but still visible to Prithu, the king returned to his house. So here the Lord went to his abode and Prithu Maharaj returned to his palace. And here the Lord is addressed as avyaktaya, which means not everyone could see the Supreme Lord, even though he had appeared. But drupaha sandarshitatmane, but he was visible to Prithu Maharaj, but others could not see him like that. Yeah, not everyone could see. Some could see, some could not see. Prithu Maharaj could see, but not everyone could see. That's why he is addressed as avyaktaya. He was invisible to others. Some of them could see, but not everyone's darshan was the same also. No. See, they may be able to see the Supreme Lord, and both of them may give similar descriptions also. Pita Kausheya Vasasam, Chaturbhujam, Shankar, Chakra Gadadarastam. Like that, you know, they may give similar descriptions, but still we may not be able to identify, but still these two people may be feeling completely different kind of emotions seeing the Lord. So it is not necessary that to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead one has to be a pure devotee, but to experience the pure spiritual emotions on taking darshan of the Lord, only a pure devotee can experience. Okay, so in third canto also this comes, and Uddhava is describing about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. He talks about this Yudhishthira Maharaj's what yajna he performs? Rajasuya yajna. So many people had come, the demigods had come, and many pure devotees had come. And when the demigods saw the beautiful form of Krishna, they thought, my God, you know, such nice, such wonderful, you know, this is the perfection of Krishna's, Brahmaji's creation. Like that they thought. Yad dharma suno bataraja suye niriksha swastyayanam triloka kasyena chandyena ratam vidhatu arvakshtatau kaushalam ityamanyata. Translation.
All the demigods from upper, lower and middle universal planet systems assemble at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Yudhishthira Maharaj. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings.
So they thought that he is the pinnacle of Brahma's creation. So, but ultimately what did they do after that? He said, okay, where is my share of the sacrifice? And they took the share of sacrifice and they went back to their abode. Said, good job. Okay, where is my share of sacrifice? So what did they see? If you ask their description of the form of the Lord and the gopis' description of the form of the Lord, it may be same description only. But still, in this whole of Bhagavatam, the gopis' glorification of the form of the Lord is considered to be the best and highest. But if you see, there is no difference between their description of the form of Krishna and anyone else's description of the form of Krishna. Same peacock feather, same yellow dhoti, but the emotions that they were going through within their heart, you know, it was the most elevated emotions, most elevated spiritual emotions. That's why that description of the form of Lord is considered to be the highest glorification of the form of the Lord. Okay. Otherwise, one need not be a pure devotee to actually take darshan of the Lord. Daksha also got darshan of the Lord. That's not a big thing. For that matter, even to go to Vaikuntha, one need not be a pure devotee. We have discussed this before. But what one experiences, so there are different grades of experience of people who stay in Vaikuntha also. Prabhupada writes it in NOD. So different people who stay in Vaikuntha, they experience different grades of ecstasy depending on their purity. So it's not that everyone who stays in Vaikuntha experiences the same kind of ecstasy also. Similarly, not everyone who may get darshan of the Supreme Lord, they may have the same, they may experience the same thing. Like that. Okay, so we will start the next chapter. Vishnu is? So I don't know. It's given, but how it is Shiva Sai Vishnu? How did he come? I have no idea. It's mentioned, but further details are not given, so I cannot comment on this. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, matlab his expansions, you know, for Dhruva Maharaj, Prishni Garbha came. Lord Hari comes in the case of Gajendra. But maybe if I'll see if something more is given in some other book commentary, I can see. Maybe in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita or something, if something is mentioned, we'll try to find out. But as of now, Prabhupada says that the form which appeared was Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. So how he appeared, don't know. He was standing in front of him, that much we know. And he came in Garuda, that much also we know. But beyond that we do not know. Further details are not given. He doesn't come in, no? I don't think so. Narada Muni telling dealing equally means, what do you think? Not in the sense pay obeisances to everyone, because we know that that's not what is expected. Here we see that he respected all living entities. When the Lord was living, Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, in all kinds of people who had come, all his subjects, all of them were respected by Prithu Maharaj. Which means, respect everyone, but yata yata, as it befits, considering all the various situations, accordingly you pay respects. That's what it means. Or seeing, he added, maybe in that same verse or one verse before or after, the Lord says that considering all living entities as my parts. Okay, so that's what it means. That not necessary that the same kind of respect has to be shown, but according to one's position, as in Chaitanya Shikshamrit, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about, I think, some 10 different levels of respect. No? So then The first level is, you know, if one is a human being, he has to be respected. Then amongst human beings, then first next comes Varna Maryada, then Ashrama Maryada, then like that. You know, there are various levels of respect that he talks about. So considering all that, appropriately one should show respect. That's what, that is my understanding. You want to add something? Is that your question? Being equally means it cannot be, it definitely equally means, it means be respectful to all, but does not mean, you know, the same way. It means gunadikam mudam lipset anukrosham gunadamat maitrim samanad anvichen. That's what it means. It cannot be otherwise. Okay, so we'll start the 21st chapter. This chapter is titled Instructions by Prithu Maharaj. So I want to thank you, because I got an opportunity to go over this full notebook at one shot, which I have never done before. So I had all this, you know, starting from Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, I had started in this notebook. And I never thought, you know, in one shot I would get an opportunity to go over all these chapters. You know, first time I got an opportunity, so I want to thank you. Because once you move ahead and you know, whatever is currently going on, even though we may have desire to sometime revisit the old ones, but unless such opportunities you get, you know, it's very difficult to inspire, at least it's for me, it's very difficult to inspire myself to, you know, go over the old sections and, you know, today I will, you know, I feel like I should read this. Because generally on a regular basis you have something or other, so it becomes difficult to go over and revisit. But somehow if there is some service that, you know, then you are forced to somehow go. So it was nice. I think only this way, you know, there is an opportunity to go over the older sections. It was so nice. It was very nourishing. So, I think I have written date. 2012. Probably. 2012. I remember it was in Mayapur. 2012. This says 26/10, which means October. So we had gone to Mayapur to make some prior arrangements for the Annakot cooking. I remember. I don't make it anymore. Of course, at that time I was writing it in notebook, but then later on it became little, I didn't get time to spend so much time. So whatever, you know, few cantos I wrote it in notebooks, and then later when I didn't have time, then I started again writing back in my book only, Bhagavatam only, like that.
You refer
Prabhupada and VCT.
What intention?
So that I can, you know, subsequently, because next time if you want to go over it, it is difficult to go over the whole, you know, Prabhupada, VCT, and again it's difficult. So if it is there in one place, then it's easy to refer back. And, you know, I really liked doing it. It was so nice just, you know, reading and, you know, writing, reflecting. It's quite nourishing, one way, very nice way to stay absorbed. No fixed time. You know, morning I used to do morning hours, and rest of the day if I get time I used to do. No fixed time, nothing like that. Fixed time, only fixed time was morning, 3 to 4:30 or something like that. But other times, but nowadays I am not able to do that also. At that time I had written, but I think eventually after some time it was difficult, you know, I stopped writing shlokas. Anyway, so we'll start the 21st chapter, Instructions by Prithu Maharaj to his citizens. Okay. Maitre, so the previous chapter ended with Prithu Maharaj going back to his palace. And Lord also returned back to his abode. So Maitreya takes the story further from here. Maitreya uvacha mauktikai kusumasraddhe dukulai swarnatoranaihi mahasurabibirdhupai manditam tatra tatra vai. The city was decorated with pearls, flower garlands, cloth, golden arches and fragrant incense in various places. So Prabhupada writes, real opulence is supplied by natural gifts. Such opulence immediately changes the mind and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. So wherever, you know, natural, you know, things are, or places are decorated with natural things, then it has a whole different, the vibrations itself is, you know, quite, and Mara also we have observed many times, he makes sure that, you know, whatever is the natural things available, you know, when it is used for decorating, whether be it his room or anything, you know, he loves it. He encourages also. And the other day also then, on his Vyas Puja day, when everyone was served with, you know, banana leaves, and he was very pleased also. So it creates a whole different mood actually when it is all natural. Chandana guru toyardra ratya chattvara margavat pushpakshata phalai stokmair lajair archidir architam. Its roads and intersections were wet with sandalwood and aguru scent. Can you believe? Sandalwood and aguru scent. Aguru is another very expensive natural perfume. And decorated with flowers, raw rice, fruits, barley shoots, popped rice and lamps. These are all like various auspicious paraphernalia. Savrindair kadali stambaihi puga potai parishkritam tarupallava malabhir sarvatas samalankritam. The city was decorated everywhere with banana stalks, including their fruits and flowers, with young betel trees and with strings of young flowers. Prajastam deepa balibir sambrishtashesha mangalaihi abhiyar mrishta kanyascha mrishta kundala manditaha. The citizens and pure young girls decorated with bright earrings approach Prithu with lamps and many auspicious articles. So Srila Vishnacharita Thakur writes that they came to offer aarti to Prithu Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes, offering of natural products and scattering them throughout the city are all auspicious for the person being received. And Prabhupada also comments on Mrishta Kanya, means pure young girls. Prabhupada says this is also very auspicious. If you remember when Mahaprabhu was also doing installation, they had brought very young girls to have the first darshan. Even today in conservative families, free mixing is not allowed. The girls are protected at all stages. When thus protected, women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to men. When they are protected nicely, then women, they remain as a very auspicious source of energy to men. Like that. Shankadundabi goshena brahma goshena chartvajam vivesha bhavanam vira stuyamano gatasmayaha. To the sounds of the conches, drums and the priests chanting the Vedic mantras, the king praised but not proud entered the palace. Though all of them were praising him, but he was not proud. So Prabhupada writes, great personalities of power and opulence never become proud. And the example is given of a tree laden with fruits and flowers. They bend down in submissiveness. Similarly, great personalities also do not become proud when being praised. Pujita pujayamasa tatra tatra mahayashah pauran janapadam stam stam prita priyavarat pradah. After being worshipped, Prithu Maharaj, pleased and giving desired blessings, worshipped the famous and common citizens here and there. He worshipped all of them, but appropriately, as befitting their status. So Srila Krishna Jagadaku mentions here, worshipping others means he took off his turban and jacket and gave them to others. Srila Prabhupada writes, a responsible king was always approachable by his citizens. They would approach him to take benedictions. In a responsible monarchy, the citizens had no grievances against the government, and even if they did, they could approach the king directly. We always see in Ramayana, Mahabharata, it's very clear that a common man could always approach the king. That kind of, but it, the kingdom was ruled so perfectly that if in today's day and age, if the prime minister allows common man to approach him, then it's practically impossible, because first thing, the country is not managed properly. Okay, so millions of people would be standing. But in those days, the kingdoms were so perfectly managed that even though there was, the common man had access to the king, hardly anyone would go and approach the king for any problems, because there were no problems.
Sayevama dinyanavadya cheshtita karmani bhuyansi mahan mahattamaha kurvan shashasa vani mandalam yasha spitam nirad haitaram padam. Saha mahan mahattamaha, Prithu Maharaj, the greatest amongst the great, anavadya cheshtita, performing faultless actions, adini, from the beginning, kurvan karmani bhuyamsi, and executing many many rituals, shashasa avani mandalam, he ruled the whole earth, nidhaya sphitam yashah, and achieved widespread fame, arurehe parampadam, and he then attained the Lord. So basically, after he meets the Lord, offers his prayers, and after the Lord leaves, Maitreya very soon winds up. In one verse he says, he performed faultless actions, executed many rituals,
ruled the whole earth, achieved widespread fame, and went back home, back to Godhead. That's all.
Of course, Vidra will ask some questions now. We all know that.
Who? So, Prabhupada commenting on Parampadam. Prabhupada says, Parampadam refers to the Vaikuntha planets and they can only be achieved by devotional service. By other processes, they may go till Brahma Jyoti, but they have to come back. Just like one may fly an aircraft in outer space, but if he doesn't reach a planet, then he has to come back. They may ultimately attain till Brahma Loka, but not beyond. Okay? Like that. Aruhya Krichrena Param Padam Tataha Patantyado Anadrata Yushmadangraya. Like that. So, Suta Goswami speaks here. Tadadirajasya yashovajrambitam gunairasheshair gunavat sadajitam kshatta mahadadavatas sadaspate kaushara vimpraha granantam archayan. O Shaunaka, after worshipping Maitreya, who had described in detail the glories of Prithu, who was adored by highly qualified persons, the great devotee Vidura then spoke. So Vidura is going to ask some questions now. Vidura vacha sobhishikta praturvitrae labdha shesha surarhanah bibratsa vaishnavam tejo bahvor yadyantu dohagam. So Vidura is mentioning to Maitreya Muni, he says, Vipraihi abhishiktaha, being enthroned by the Brahmanas, labdha ashesha sura arhana, and worshipped by the numerous devatas, Prithuhu bibratsa vaishnavim tejaha. Prithu Maharaj received Vishnu's strength, Shaktiyavesha avatar, in his arms, bahvoho, yabhyam didoha gam. So basically Vidura is telling what all he has understood from Maitreya's narration. As we also do when we want to express our appreciation of a speaker, then we go and say, Prabhuji, a point achata, you know. He said that, enthroned by the Brahmanas and worshipped by numerous devatas, Prithu received Vishnu's strength in his arms, with which he milked the earth. Then, Konvasya kirtim na shranotya vijnyo yad vikramochishtam ashesha bhupaha lokasapala upajivanti kamam adyapi tanne vadakarma shuddham. So he says, kahanu abhijna asya kirtinna shrunoti. He says, who is that intelligent person who will not hear Prithu Maharaj's glories? Konvasya kirtin na shrunotyabhijnyo. What intelligent person will not hear Prithu Maharaj's glories? Adhyapi lokaha sapala upajivanti kamam uchishtam. Even now, adhyapi, the devatas and the planets upajivanti, they maintain their lives. And what is the source of their maintenance? Uchishtam, the remnants. Remnants of what? Yad ashesha bhupaha vikrama. It is all remnants of the valiant action
produced by Prithu Maharaj. If Prithu Maharaj had not milked the earth, if Prithu Maharaj had not flattened the earth and made it suitable for agriculture, then life would have been much more difficult. So therefore, even now, the planets, the devatas, the loka and lokapalas, they maintain their lives with the remnants of Prithu Maharaj's valiant actions. So therefore, Tanne Vada Karma Shuddham. So please tell me more pastimes of Prithu Maharaj. So it continues for another 3 chapters. 21, 22, 23. Otherwise, Maitreya was ready to move ahead. But Vidura's one question is so potent that Maitreya is inspired to speak for 3 chapters. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport that Vidura's purpose in trying to hear about Prithu Maharaj again and again is to set an example to other executive heads who should be similarly inclined. Because Vidura was also an executive head. Prithu Maharaj was also an executive head. So Vidura, by expressing his eagerness, is showing, is setting the example for other executive heads who should also be similarly inclined. But nowadays no one follows such injunctions. Therefore no country is happy no country is progressive in spiritual understanding. Like that. So now, being thus requested, now Maitreya will start discussing about in general, the rule of Prithu Maharaj. Okay. Ganga Yamuna Yor Nadyor Antarakshetra Mavasan Aradhaneva Bubuje Bogan Punyajihi Jihasaya. Avasan Ganga Yamuna Yor Nadyor Antarakshetram. Living in the land between Ganga and Yamuna rivers, Bhogan Bhuvuje, Prithu Maharaj experienced enjoyment, Arabdan Eva, thinking of it as karma for exhausting the results of his previous pious actions. Same thing, you see, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, all of them, okay, they had the same. Whenever they got any enjoyment, facility for enjoyment, they thought, unfortunately my pious credits are not yet been destroyed because of my weak practice of bhakti. That's how they thought. If my bhakti was strong, then all my pious credits and my sinful reactions would have been destroyed. The fact that I am still getting these facilities means my bhakti has been weak. Therefore, all my pious credits have not yet been destroyed. Yes. He must be receiving something, na? At least food he will be receiving. Why should he come out of this consciousness? It's a favorable consciousness, na? Out of humility, this is not a fact. This is his genuine humility. So you are telling, when would a devotee give up this genuine humility? Is it? Is that your question? When will he give up this humility? This is out of genuine humility he is feeling like this. It's not a mental adjustment that he is doing. He is genuinely feeling like this.
His facilities are not much for his
when he sees others, other devotees enjoying Lord's mercy, he thinks, oh, his enjoyment of Lord's mercy is due to, his enjoyment of facility is due to Lord's mercy. But when he himself gets, he naturally thinks, it must be due to my karma. Correct. But see, because Prabhupada has to, because he has to set the right philosophical understanding also. Isn't it? Because a whole spiritual society is there. So he has to set the right understanding. So he has this dual role. What he is personally feeling, and he also has to establish the right philosophical understanding also. So that both roles he has to play. So personally he may be feeling. Many times he has expressed his personal feelings also in his prayers. I am not qualified, I don't have any good qualities. So those feelings are also in his private prayers, you see, his inner feelings come out. But when he has to establish the right philosophical understanding, sometimes he may speak like this also. So both roles he has to... So Srila Vishnachakarya Thakur commenting on this verse, he says, though the avatar of the Lord and the Lord's devotee do not have prarabdha karma, out of great humility arising from his great bhakti, Prithu Maharaj thought that he would expend his pious and impious karma by experiencing happiness and distress in this life as a conditioned soul. Same thing. Aldar Priyapu, you're not convinced. Yeah, same thing. So Srila Prabhupada writes, Prithu Maharaj was not only an empowered incarnation, but he was also a great devotee. For such people, there is no prarabdha karma. Same thing Prabhupada also writes, karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhaja. People misunderstand great personalities as ordinary men. Avajananti maam muda. This holds good to great people also, not necessarily only Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord may pose as an ordinary man, but he is never to be considered that way. Nor should an ordinary person be accepted as Lord. Both are wrong. We have to resort to the Shastras. For example, Sanatana Goswami detected Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an incarnation through Shastric evidence. Okay, so it's not that just like that he felt, not like that. He also confirmed it using Shastric evidence.
Sarvatraskalitadesha saptadvipaika dandadrik anyatra brahmana kulat anyatra chuta gotrataha. Sarvatra askalita adeshaha. Prithu Maharaj's order went unchallenged everywhere. Sapta dvipa eka dandadrik. Okay. All the seven islands of the Bhumandal, and there was one authority. That was Prithu Maharaj. But anyatra brahmana kulad anyatra achyuta gotrataha. Except the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, his order went unchallenged everywhere, which means he was not trying to control the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas.
So Srila Prabhupada here, commenting on this, he says, people are of the impression that countries like America were not discovered during Vedic times. But this is not a fact. It is mentioned here that Prithu Maharaj ruled over all the seven islands. Forget about considering the seven islands to be the seven different dvipas. Even if you think the seven islands to be the seven continents of this globe, then still America is within, and Prithu Maharaj lives so many millions of years before. Prithu Maharaj should have resided somewhere in North India, Prabhupada says, as it is mentioned that he lived in between Ganga and Saraswati rivers. Askalita Adesha, Prabhupada commenting on this, he says, Askalita indicates that the orders of the king could not be disobeyed by anyone in this world, but such orders were never issued on Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Like that. That is, so Brahmavarta is northern India, around the Punjab region. Okay. Ekadasin Mahasatra Diksha Tatra Divaukasam Samajo Brahmarshinamcha Rajarshinamcha Sattama. Ekada, once upon a time. Asit Mahasatra Diksha. Once upon a time, this Prithu Maharaj performed a great sacrificial performance. Tatra, at that sacrificial arena, Diva Okasam, the Devatas, and Samajo Brahma Rishinamcha, and an assembly of saintly Brahmanas, Rajarshinamcha, and saintly kings were present. There was a Samaj, there was a congregation of saintly sages and saintly kings, along with the Devatas in that sacrificial arena.
Not the
That's over. It's later. Some other sacrifice. Tasmin arhatsu sarvesho svarchitesho yatarhatah uttitas sadaso madye taranam udurad iva. There, Prithu Maharaj stood up in the assembly among the great persons worthy of worship, who had been worshipped befitting to their status, like the moon among the stars. So he was like a moon amongst the stars. So Prabhupada commenting on this, Su Architeshu, they were properly worshipped. Prabhupada writes, according to the Vedic system, guest reception is very vital, especially of great personalities, and Prithu Maharaj is showing by his example. Like that. Pramshu Pinya Pinaya Tadbujo Gaura Kanjaru Nekshanaha Sunasa Sumuka Saumya Pinam Sasudvijasmitaha. He was tall with long thick arms, fair complexion and red lotus eyes. He had a graceful nose, a beautiful cheerful face, thick shoulders, and a smile with beautiful teeth. So Prabhupada writes, amongst the four Varnas, the Kshatriyas, both men and women are generally very beautiful. Bodily features of a particular person are due to his past karma. Vyudavakshabrahashraner valivalgodalodarah avartanabirojasvi kanchanorur udagrapat. He had a broad chest, large waist and abdomen shaped like a banyan leaf with three lines, a twirled navel, golden thighs and feet raised in front. सूक्ष्म वक्रासित स्निग्ध मूर्धज कंदुकंदरः महादने तु कोलाग्रे परिधायोपवीय च. He had fine black curly glossy hair. His neck was like a conch shell. He was wearing valuable cloth on his lower and upper body. Vyanjitashesha gatra shrir niyamenyasta bhushana krishnajinagara shriman kushapanir krutochitah शिशिरस्निग्धताराक्ष समैक्षत समन्ततः ऊचिवानिदमुर्वीश सत संहर्षयन् इव चारुचित्रपदं श्लक्ष्णं रिष्टं गूढं अविक्लवं सर्वेषाम् उपकारार्थं तदा अनुवदन् इव. Showing unlimited beauty in his limbs, wearing ornaments expertly placed, wearing a black deer skin and shining with kusha on his finger, when required, the ruler of earth, who had charming pupils in his eyes as cooling as dew, glanced around. Giving joy to the assembly, he resonantly spoke attractive, delightful words which were ornamented with beautiful syllables, faultless, full of allusions and which were easy to understand for the benefit of all present. Which means, he looked beautiful, he spoke very sweetly, attractive words which were simultaneously gudam and sarvesham upakarartham. They are full of allusions, means indirect. Metaphorical, but they were simultaneously easy to understand also. Okay, not very cryptic. Black deer skin, part of their dress code. Why do you think black deer skin is not costly? See, our perception of what is valuable, what is not valuable is based on, you know, our current situation. So in those days, what was valuable, what was not valuable might have been different. Okay. And what constitutes a Kshatriya's dress also we do not know under different circumstances. What does he write?
Maharashtra was being initiated to perform the sacrifice. He had to leave aside his valuable dress and therefore his natural body was given to the world. It was very pleasing to see him put on black hair and wear the ring of Kshatriya on his
finger. So it was the dress for performing the sacrifice. Sacrificial dress. Photo B.A. Black deer skin. Okay. Let's continue. Okay. So now, this is the main section of this chapter, Prithu Maharaj's instructions to his citizens. Okay. So, about 16 verses, Prithu Maharaj is instructing his citizens as to what their duties are. And he does it in such a amazing way. You hear these instructions, the way he is speaking, you know, any citizen would feel very inspired to follow these instructions. राजोवाच सभ्याश्रमित भद्रं वा साधवो यैहावताः सत्सु जिज्ञासु निर्धर्मम् आवेद्यं स्वमनीषितम्. This is O Sabhya, O Assembly. Sadavo yaiha agataha, and devotees who have assembled here. Badramva, may all good fortune be upon you. Shrunata, I have something to tell you. Please listen. Satsu jigyasudir. In the presence of devotees, satsu jigyasudir, those who are inquisitive for truth, dharmam avedayan, they should announce the principles swamanishitam, which they have carefully considered. So meaning, he is telling, I am not here to give any order to you. Okay? It is mentioned that in the presence of very exalted people, in the presence of devotees, one should present his realizations and get it confirmed whether it is according to proper shastric understanding or not. One should present it. Jigyasudir, one who is inquisitive about truth, should announce the principles. This is what I am thinking. Is my thought process right? So he should announce swamanishitam, that which he has carefully considered, reflected upon it. He has to present it in front of devotees and get their approval. So therefore, that's what I am doing here. Please don't think that I am instructing you. Okay? I am just presenting my reflections. You please help me understand whether this is proper or not. That's how Prithu Maharaj starts his instructions. This is actually very important, you know. So every once in a while, you know, that's why when devotees sit together and every once in a while, if they discuss their reflections, not exactly realizations, but because realizations is a very high thing, but something which they have been reflecting upon, trying to understand some principle. So it's always good to present it. It need not be a big assembly. So today evening, everyone assembled, not like that. But at least with a few close, exalted devotees, you know, one can always present one's thought process, you know, what they are carefully considering, in what direction they are thinking. So when it is presented, then, you know, you always get, and this, this is also, you know, like this setup also, Vidyapit setup also, in, you know, or the evening discussions, you know, I see it that way, you know, because invariably, you know, certain things which you have been thinking and reflecting will always come out. And I have personally experienced in my, you know, last many years of following it, that when you present, then when the questions come, definitely, you know, if it is something little different, or then definitely questions come which you may not have considered. It helps you to go inside again and think whether is my thought process right or wrong, and then you represent it, and then further questions come. That way, you know, it becomes more and more, you can get deeper and deeper into, you know, understanding whether one's thought process is right. So always, you know, these discussion forums, you know, Vaishnava discussion forums, not like discussing some prajalpa, but you know, some shastric subject matters and one's own reflections, it's always very good, because definitely, you know, they come up with questions which you have not thought about, and it makes your reflection on that particular subject matter more wholesome. Actually, I have found it extremely helpful in my life that you know, in these discussion forums when we discuss Shastra and you get an opportunity to share your reflections, others share their reflections, it's very, very you know, very productive. Actually, it's very, very helpful. That's why I always, you know, I feel very encouraged when questions are asked, because it gives you newer and newer perspectives. It helps you question your own proper understanding, whether it is, is it proper, or is it that you are inclined to believe it that way. Many times you are inclined to believe it in some way, and we try to fit all other details accordingly. It's called, in the scientific circles, it's called fudging the data. You have already made your theory, and you fudge the, you know, those data points which do not fit your theory, you somehow manipulate them and, you know, try to fit them. They do it not proper. So you know, these presenting such subject matters and discussing in you know, Vaishnava forums, it always helps you refine your thought process, you know, better. So I have found it very, very helpful. And Prithu Maharaj is mentioning the same thing here. He says that those who are inquisitive for truth, they should present the principles of dharma that they have carefully considered in the assembly of devotees. And when they present it like that, then they get lot of clarity. Like that. So, first thing, Srila Vishnacharya Thakur comments here, he says, the king first thing addresses the devotees. Sadavo ya iha agata. Devotees who are gathered here, I am addressing you. Okay, because not everyone who had you know, gathered might have been devotees also. So he is telling, I am addressing the devotees here, like that. My object is not others who have gathered here. I cannot give instructions or orders to you since I am the king, but rather I should ask you for instructions and orders. He is telling, you devotees, you are more exalted than me. I cannot give you instructions, because it was mentioned that anyatra brahmana kulat anyatra achyuta gotratah. His order or his control was spread everywhere except the brahmanas and vaishnavas. So he's telling, I cannot, oh devotees, I cannot give you orders. So what I am basically doing here is I am trying to get my understanding right. So I am presenting my understanding, which I have carefully reflected upon. You correct me if I am wrong. Like that. Since there is devotee association here, the inquisitive should reveal topics of dharma after considering them carefully, since they cannot come to a conclusion by themselves. Because many things, you know, we may not be able to resolve the contradiction. Okay. So when presented in the assembly of devotees, many of those contradictions get resolved. Like we had this discussion about deer skin. So you referred and mentioned. So it became, there was more clarity. So therefore always, you know, these discussion forums are very, very beneficial actually. You discuss, you know, there will be, every single person will come up with a point which you have not noticed. So everyone gains actually. When sincerely done, you know, it's very, very beneficial actually. Prabhupada here commenting on this purport, he says, Sadhava, commenting on Sadhava, he says, when a person is great and famous, many envious people become his enemies. Therefore, in Prithumaraj's assembly also, he must have had several enemies, although they could not express themselves. But Prithumaraj was concerned with the gentle devotees and not the envious people. Unto them, he didn't present himself as an authority, but humbly submitted his statement. Unto the devotees, he did not present himself as an authority, but he humbly submitted his statement. Prithumaraj was beyond the four human defects, but still he humbly presented his statements to the great souls. So that is the way of doing it. This is what I am thinking. What do you think? Is this right? And many times it has happened that suddenly your opinions are like shot left, right, center. And then you realize the, you know, the flaw in your thinking process also. You know, how it has been prejudiced or ill-informed, or, you know, it is not according to the Shastric understanding. You know, many times you get many feedbacks and the people share their own, you know, it has happened that, you know, once I gave a Bhagavatam class and a few days later the next speaker, you know, on the very same topic, he completely refuted, you know, whatever I spoke. Of course, in a very, very Shastric, very systematic way. It was very systematically. Then I realized, wow, you know, I didn't consider these aspects. It was a very lopsided presentation, I understood. So it's always good, you know, these forums are very, very helpful, useful. What happened? Not humility, it's a fact. Everyone saw. Nothing is secret. Everyone saw. Everyone was sitting. It was a Bhagavatam class. It was not a personal one-on-one. Bhagavatam class. And everyone knew that that person was, you know, who was the intended audience. Of course, everyone. But he was presenting the right Shastric understanding. So, because sometimes you are convinced about some point and you are very eager to present it. And you present it, and sometimes it may not be the right understanding also. It may be a very lopsided, you have considered only one side of things. And then others speak, you get a more balanced understanding of that whole thing. Like that. So then, Prithu Maharaj continues, Aham dandadaro raja prajanam iha yojitaha rakshita vritti dasvesho seta shustapita prutak. So he says that the citizens may say, what are you speaking? We are here just to receive your orders. You are the king. We are your citizens. Just order us. Why do you have to verify your thought process with us? We are just ordinary citizens. You are the king. You just instruct us. So Prithu Maharaj says, Aham yojitah. I have been engaged by the Lord for these four reasons. Prajanam dandadaro. To punish the citizens who are not following the principles properly. Rakshita. As the protector of citizens. Vrittida, as the giver of occupations according to one's psychophysical nature. And Pritak Setushu Stapita, and as the establisher of the rules of Varnashram. Just as the Lord has engaged you in doing your prescribed duties, similarly the Lord has engaged me also to do my prescribed duties. But you all are Vaishnavas. So, therefore, he is telling here that Rather, I have merely been appointed by the Lord as the object of worship to engage you in your occupations. I have been employed by the Lord to engage in these activities. I am carrying on my head the weight of many types of services to you. So I have been engaged by the Lord to serve you. So you are my master and I am your servant. And moreover, in the previous verse he said, you all are sadhava. You all are devotees. So I should take instructions from you, guidance from you. So like that he is telling. This is the original example of servant leadership. Where Pitu Maharaj is telling, I have been engaged by the Lord to serve you. So please accept my service. And then later he would tell that one of the chief services, one of my chief services is to give you instructions. So please accept my instructions. Like that. It is my service. As a service, I am trying to give you some instructions. Like that. Like in Lilamrita it's written that even Gaur Mohan De, when he used to chastise Prabhupada, he used to first tell, you know, please forgive me, as a father I have to correct you, so please don't mind, never mind. And then he used to chastise like that. Prabhupada also used to say, yeah. So please don't take it otherwise. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, a king is appointed by the Supreme Lord to look after the interests of the prajas. Such a person is considered to be a representative of the Godhead. The Lord maintains all the jivas, especially he maintains the human beings, because after many lakhs of lifetimes, one gets a human birth. So he has to use it very carefully. So therefore, the Lord especially protects the human beings, Prabhupada writes. On behalf of the Supreme Lord, it is the duty of the king to engage the people according to their varnas. Sveshu vrittida. But in the modern times, since the protection of the king and the government has been withdrawn, the social order has collapsed. Pritak setushu sthapita. They have to establish the rules of Varnashram, but the whole Varnashram system has broken down. People do not know their Varna in today's day and age. They simply claim their Varna based on their birthright. Therefore, in order to restore peace, tranquility and prosperity, the Varnashram system has to be re-established. Like that Prabhupada is writing. Prabhupada writes, and also Prajanam Rakshita means Praja includes all living entities, not just human beings. Therefore, this having the slaughterhouses will produce a catastrophic future reaction for the butcher, his land and his government, Prabhupada writes. The government also, if it allows slaughterhouses, catastrophic after effects, like that. So then he says, tasya metad anushtanad yana hor brahmavadinah lokasya kama sandoha yasya tushyati dishtadrik. So therefore, if I execute these duties that the Lord has given me as service to you, tasya tad anushtanat, as a king, if I execute these duties properly, yan lokaha brahmavadinaha ahuhu, all the places that the Vedic scriptures talk about, be it Swarga or be it Vaikuntha, be it the Brahmajyoti, whichever may be the place that I desire to go, all these places I can go just by merely executing these duties. Okay. Kama sandeha, from executing all my duties, all the places which the followers of the Vedas describe, which fulfill my desires, will be mine. Why? Yasya tushyati dishta drik. Because by performing these duties, I will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Supreme, yasmin tushte kim aprapyam jagatam ishvareshvare. Like that in Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes we saw that when the Supreme Lord is pleased, what is difficult to attain? Nothing. Okay. So he says that if I execute these duties that the Supreme Lord has given me, then I can attain any kind of perfection because the Supreme Lord will be pleased. Therefore, the same is true for you. He has engaged me in these duties. If I perform these duties, the Lord will be pleased and I can achieve my desired destination. And same way, He has engaged you in different duties. If you perform those duties, you can also achieve the same result as me. So till now, Prithu Maharaj has mentioned, O assembled devotees, I am not ordering you, rather I am inquisitive to know about the principles of Dharma. I am just inquisitive to know the right principles of Dharma. In such an assembly, inquisitive people should reveal the topics of Dharma after considering them carefully. I have considered the principles of Dharma carefully and I am going to present it now. This is important since one cannot come to the right conclusion by oneself. One needs help. But the citizens may say, "But you are our king. You are worthy of our worship. How can we instruct you?" So in response to that, Prithu Maharaj says, "No, just like you have been engaged by the Lord in various occupations, I have similarly been engaged to protect the citizens, establish the rules of Varnashram like that. I have been given my own job description by the Supreme Lord, just like you have been given your job description by the same Supreme Lord. If I execute my duties properly, then the Lord will be pleased and I will attain a desirable destination after death. Similarly, if you execute your duties, you will also attain a desirable destination after death because the Lord will be pleased." Okay? So like that, Prithu Maharaj has given instructions till now. We will take a short 2-minute break and then we will continue. If I execute my duties, then the Lord will be pleased and I will attain a desirable destination after death. So then he continues, he says, Ya uddaret karam raja prajadarnesha shikshayan prajanam shamalambungte bhagam cha swam jahati saha. But if the king, yaha uddaret karam, karam means taxes, if he levies taxes, praja dharmeshu asikshayan, without teaching the citizens about the principles of Dharma, prajanam shamalambungte, he suffers the sins of the citizens, bhagam cha swam jahati saha, swam bhagam jahati, and he loses his own good fortune. He says that, and as a king, I have been given so many duties. Few duties I mentioned. Two other duties are to collect taxes. Okay? And if I collect taxes without giving proper teachings of Dharma to my citizens, then I go to hell. So therefore, I should give some instructions on dharma. Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur writes, however, amongst my duties, the chief and constant duty is to institute dharma. Without doing that, I will meet with misfortune. Therefore, let me give some instructions as a duty. So Prabhupada writes, a king or a government official should not just occupy the post and levy tax without teaching people about dharmic rules, because they share a portion of their sins, because we saw this already. The laws of nature are very subtle. For example, if one eats at a place which is very sinful, then he shares a portion of that karma. So Prabhupada gives an example of how the laws of nature are very, very subtle. Therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas must not be indiscriminate in accepting eating invitations, though it is the duty of the Grahasthas to invite them for their own purification, but still Brahmanas and Vaishnavas must be very careful. There are many such subtle laws, and the ISKCON movement is distributing this Vedic knowledge like that. Then he continues, he says, Tatraja Bartra Pindartam Swartam Yevanaso Yavaha Kuruta Doksha Jadiyas Tarhi Menugraha Krutaha. O Praja, O citizens, Tat, therefore, Kuruta Sva Artam, therefore, please perform your duties Anasoyavaha without envy for your king. Bartra Pindartam, because if you perform your duties now properly, then that decides, that means I get a favorable destination after I die. So for the welfare of your king, please perform your prescribed duties nicely. O Adhokshajadiya, O thinkers of Lord Adhokshaja, Tarhine anugraha kritaha, by doing your prescribed duties properly, you will show great mercy upon your king. So please perform your prescribed duties properly so that, you know, I can get a favorable destination. Like that he is requesting his prajas. So Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur writes here, like offerings after death, like, you know, Pindadan is given for after death for person's welfare, similarly you should do your duties for my welfare after death, which means in my next life. If you do your duties, then I will be successful. Let me not have rebirth in this world, and that depends on you are properly performing your prescribed duties. So he says, O persons who place their intelligence in the Lord, meaning please worship the Lord. That is a very nice way of telling. O dharmic people, please hear. Means what? Please be dharmic. So O Adhokshaja Diya, which means my first instruction to you is, please meditate on the Supreme Lord. Because they will be forced to, this is a very powerful way of, you know, instructing. That, you know, O Adhokshaja Diya, which means, oh, you who are constantly meditating on the Supreme Lord, agar wo nahi hai, to at least wo sochega to, okay. The king thinks that I am actually meditating on the Lord, at least for the king's pleasure I should meditate on the Lord like that.
Actually, many times such sentences are there. Are they genuine or sarcastically spoken?
Genuine. So this is a, see, because we don't know the, you know, culture and etiquette so well. So therefore, when we do such things, invariably we may do it in a sarcastic way. But, you know, what was the culture at that time? You know, we do not know perfectly. So definitely there is no sarcasm intended here. If it was there, definitely the acharya should have mentioned. So, it's not that all the people were also not meditating on the Supreme Lord, but there could have been some people who would have probably not been very consciously meditating on the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj, by addressing them, all of them as Adokshayadiya, is appreciating some people who are already meditating and encouraging others who are probably not so consciously meditating. So it's not, sarcasm is not intended here. So that need not be sarcasm. That could have been shock also. You know Dharma. So how come you are acting like this? That is expression of surprise, expression of shock. Not that in the Vedic culture there was no scope for sarcasm. Sarcasm was also there. But then here it is not, it's not mentioned that it was sarcastically mentioned. It was genuine only. Genuine means what? Genuine in the sense to encourage those who are not consciously doing it and to appreciate those who are doing it. In that sense it was genuine. So Prabhupada commenting on Adokshajadiya, he says, both the king and the citizens must be Krishna conscious so that both are not doomed to lower species and both can be responsible. So one who is Krishna conscious means he is responsible, because he wants to take up Krishna's responsibilities. So that's very important that is mentioned here. So Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness can be summarized as yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Even though this is not the highest principle of Krishna consciousness, okay, but for general public who are sort of inclined to Krishna consciousness, at the same time they may not be able to follow the highest. This is like an LCM instruction. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadasyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. What is LCM instruction? That at least everyone can follow. Least common multiple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So this is like karma mishra bhakti. Yat karoshi yadashnasi is karma mishra bhakti. Patram pushpam phalam gayam tayam is pure devotional service. Okay? And you know, the various other karmanyevadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana, that is bhakti mishra karma, that is, or nishkama karma yoga. Like that there are many levels. And sahayajya paja srishtva puro vacha prajapati, these are like sakama karma yoga. So sakama karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga, then karma mishra bhakti, then shuddha bhakti. So here Prabhupada is giving the principle of yat karoshi yadashnasi, because it is more practical for common public. You cannot say that, you know, you have to do only Navada Bhakti. Not everyone may be ready for it immediately. But they may be favorably inclined to perform devotional service, but not at the standards that are being expected. Okay, like that. If everyone is taught this, then no one will be implicated in reactions like that. Then he says, "Yuyam tadanu modadvam pitridevarshayo malaha kartushastur anujyatas tulyam yatpretya tatphalam." So after speaking like this, he tells, "Yuyam amalaha pitridevarshayo." So, therefore, my dear pure devatas, pitrus and sages, all of whom you have assembled here, I just request you, tat anumodadvam, please consult amongst yourself and tell whether you would approve this opinion of mine or not. Whatever I have presented till now, would you give your stamp of approval or not? Okay, carefully consider it and tell, because pretya, after that, yat phalam tulyam, the result of whether it is favorable or unfavorable is tulyam, is equally shared by three people: kartuhu, the common citizens; shastuhu, the king; tat anujyatuhu, all of you. Sages, brahmanas, you fall in the category of the approver, the one who approves, and I fall in the category of shastuhu, the person who gives the order, and kartuhu, the common man, fall in the category of the performer. So you have this great responsibility of carefully considering this opinion of mine, these instructions of mine, and give your approval. Once the approval is given, then the citizens would follow, and if there is any discrepancy, all three of us have to equally share the reactions. So therefore, carefully consider this instruction of mine and you give your opinion whether would you approve this instruction or not. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the government of Prithu Maharaj was perfect because it was administered exactly according to Vedic injunctions. Prithu Maharaj's prime duty was to see that everyone executes his duty and get elevated in Krishna consciousness. If they cooperated, they would get the same result as Prithu Maharaj. Yat phalam tulyam kartuhu shastuhu tad anujyatuhu. They will also get the same result. If it is a good instruction, not only would Prithu Maharaj get the result, but the performing citizens would get the same result, and the approving sages, they would also get the same result. ISKCON movement is bona fide and following in footsteps of Prithu Maharaj. Therefore, if people cooperate, then they will also get the same result as the active members. So, active members may fall in the category of shastuhu and anujyatuhu. The common preachers may fall in the category of shastu, just for example. And the spiritual masters may fall in the category of tad anujyatuhu. And the people who are being preached to, they fall in the category of kartuhu. So if there is proper cooperation, then he says the common people, who may not be active members of ISKCON, but they can also get the same result of the active members if they cooperate with the active members of ISKCON, like that Prabhupada is writing. So till now, let's again quickly recap what Prithu Maharaj has spoken. He says, "O assembled devotees, I am not ordering you, rather I am inquisitive to know about the principles of Dharma. In such an assembly, inquisitive people should reveal the topics of dharma after considering them carefully. This is important since one cannot come to the right conclusion by oneself. So therefore, I am presenting my opinions here. But the people may say, but you are the king, you are worthy of our worship. How can we instruct you? So Prithu Maharaj says, no, no. Just like you have been engaged by the Supreme Lord to perform your various occupations, similarly, I have also been engaged by the Supreme Lord to perform my occupational duties of protecting the citizens, establishing dharma like that. So therefore, if I execute my duties, then the Lord will be pleased and I will attain a desirable destination after death. Okay, and the same way you will also attain a same desirable destination if you perform your duties. And amongst all my duties, my chief and important duty is to give dharma siksha. Otherwise, if I just collect taxes without giving dharma siksha, then I will get the sins of my prajas and they will take my piety. Therefore, the dharma siksha that I am giving to you, all my citizens, is that first, please place your mind and intelligence in the Supreme Lord. Become adokshaja diya. The second instruction is, without envy and for my welfare, please perform your prescribed duties. Because if you perform your prescribed duties nicely, then I get a favorable destination in my next life. So please be merciful upon me. O sages, pitas and devatas, please consider this order of mine and give your approval. If something goes wrong in the execution of the duties, then the prajas who are the doer, king who is the giver of the order, and the sages, devatas and pitas who are the approver, all three of them have to share the result equally. So therefore, carefully consider my instructions and give your approval. Like that, Prithu Maharaj is requesting the sages, pitas and the devatas. But one may say that what is this? Your injunctions are contrary to your predecessors' injunctions. Vena said, don't worship the Supreme Lord. And you, the son of Vena, the primary injunction that you are giving is, become adokshaja diya. Isn't it contradicting your predecessors? So in response to that, Prithu Maharaj says, asti yajna tatir nama keshan chet arhasattamah iha mutra chak lakshyante jyotsna vatyatva chet buvah. O arhasattama, O most respectable persons, keshan chet, you may choose to follow the authority of Vena and other similar persons, but there are other authorities also. Keshanchit, according to some authorities, asti yajnapatir nama, a person by the name of the Supreme Lord who is the master of sacrifice, he exists. Vena may not agree with it, but other authorities accept that a person by the name Supreme Lord, who is the Yajnapati, he exists actually. Lakshyante, and this can be understood based on Anuman. Just by inference also one can understand that there is a person who is the Supreme Controller. Lakshyante, jyotsnavatyah, by the presence of beautiful bodies, iha amutracha, in this life and in the next life and in some other place. Okay, someone is born beautiful, someone is born ugly, someone is born with healthy limbs, someone is born with very deformed limbs. Who decides? There must be someone who is deciding it. Okay, so he says that definitely some people are of the opinion that the Lord, the Yajnapati, exists. It is proved by the fact that without Lord there could be no variety in the universe. Because what would be the basis of variety? So one may say, the basis of variety is karma. Depending on one's karma, he has performed good activities, so he is getting a favorable birth. He has performed bad activities, so he is getting an unfavorable birth. So karma is the cause. Fine. But karma is an inanimate thing. How can karma observe someone's activity? So there must be a conscious person who is observing. Okay? So one may say, okay, the devatas, they may be the conscious observers. Okay? But the devatas are not permanent. The scriptures talk about the devatas being created by the Supreme Lord, or their bodies being created. So if they are not permanent, how can they keep note of the karma of living entities? So therefore there must be a Supreme Personality of Godhead who has eternal presence, and he is the witness of the activities of all the living entities. So therefore the controller is not, it's not that there is no controller, it's not that karma is the controller, it's not that the demigods are the controller, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the controller. This can be understood from inference. Like that Prithu Maharaj is telling, you may want to follow Vena's order, but I am just telling that he is not the only authority. There are other authorities who differ, who accept the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. General living entities. Beautiful means beautiful and ugly. Powerful means powerful, healthy and weak and unhealthy also. It includes both. Shileshna Jagadakur comments here that we get in this life we can see, and in next life as given the Shastras, we get beautiful and ugly bodies as per karma. Actions alone, being material and unconscious, cannot give different results. So karma alone cannot be the cause. There must be someone who must be there to implement the laws of karma. One may say the demigods, the devatas. He says no, they appeared only recently. They themselves got their body only recently. So they are not independent, they are dependent. So there must be someone who is independent. Sometimes if the action is same, we see that two people doing the same action getting different results, putting the same endeavor getting different results. Or sometimes one is getting a great result, another is not at all getting a result. Okay? Thus one should conclude that the variety is possible only because of the Supreme Lord, who has the ability to do, not do, and do it differently. Kartum, akartum, anyata kartum. When there is a difference in the worship of the Lord, there is also a difference in the result. And when there is no worship of the Lord, there is no result. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. When there is performance of worship of the Lord, there is result. Tapasvino dana. And when there is no performance, there is no result. Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala shemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai shubhadra shravase namo nama. Like that. So therefore Prithu Maharaj is telling that Vena may not agree, but who told you that Vena is the only authority? He is just one of the authorities whom you may accept. But other authorities say that there is a person by the name Supreme Personality of Godhead who is Yajnapati, and This can be understood based on common sense or inference, that when you see different people getting different results, it must be due to one, their karma, and that there must be a dispenser of karma. Okay, and that is the Supreme Lord. Like that. So Prabhupada writes a very, very long purport here, so we'll take few points here. In Prithu Maharaj's arena, there were people of many types, theists, atheists, and everyone. So Prithu Maharaj was especially speaking to the theists. In the previous verse also he addressed people as Adoksha Jadiya, because who were his audience, he made it very clear. Adoksha Jadiya, Sadhava, like that. His father was a great atheist who stopped all sacrifices. Such people think that everything happens by chance. For them, the Vedas are simply theories and they have no practical application. Taking this into consideration, Prithu Maharaj suggested that the theistic men reject these atheistic views on the grounds that there cannot be many varieties of existence without the plan of a superior intelligence. How can there be varieties without the plan of a superior intelligence? Therefore, theistic people should think about it and reject these atheistic ideas based on this common sense consideration. This is the first paragraph that Prabhupada writes in the purport. The second paragraph Prabhupada says, The purpose of the entire Varnashram is to please Vishnu. Varnashram Acharavata. So next he is quoting Shastras. Shastras talk about Varna and Ashram. Okay. So if karma was the complete cause, if karma was the original cause, then Shastras would not talk about trying to please the Supreme Lord by performance of one's Varnashram. Varnashram acharavata purushena parappuman Vishnur aradhyate tanta nanyat tattosha karanam. Bhagavatam also talks about, what is it? Atapumbirdhika shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanishkitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So why would the scriptures talk about pleasing Krishna in relation to Varnashram, if ultimately everything was controlled by karma? That's Prabhupada's argument in the second paragraph. He says, but people have now rejected Vishnu worship. The Shankarites who theorize a form of the Lord has to be imagined are more dangerous than the Buddhists who outright deny the Vedas. Because it's not an imagination. But devotees live according to the principle of yatat pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanam tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manava. So Prabhupada says that, so Prabhupada again and again in this section is emphasizing this principle of svakarmanam tam abhyarchya yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadasiyat. So he is telling that this is like the principle of Krishna consciousness. Because for common public, this is a very, very healthy platform to, at least in the Vedic times, you know, the kings would always rule with on this platform, actually, when it came to dealing with common public. Svakarmanam tam abhyarchya yat karoshi yat ashnasi. Now this is like a very safe platform. Okay, like that. And then further Prabhupada writes that we may say that we are performing our prescribed duties for the pleasure of Krishna, but one should not think that Krishna needs our prescribed duties, or Krishna needs the fruits of our prescribed duties. So Prabhupada says Krishna is the chief amongst all the jivas, nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam. He has no benefit to achieve from our prescribed duties. He is full in himself. Atma Rama, Atma Ramam Purnakamam Nijaladena Nityada, Bhagavatam talks about. He is always satisfied with his own, whatever he has is Atma Ram. He does not need anything from us. But being an affectionate father, he has the right to see that all jivas are happy. Just like any father has the right to see that his children are happy. But this happiness is not possible in this temporary world. Therefore, he shows the path to eternal life. And the path to eternal life is Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. That's how, that is the constitutional nature of the living entities. Okay. So therefore, they can be happy only that way. So therefore, when Krishna says, please worship me, it is for our own benefit. Because constitutionally, the living entity can be happy only that way. So then, Prabhupada talks about, and then Prabhupada talking about duties, he says, there are two kinds of duties. One is mundane karma, another is yajñārthāt karma. So, when we perform mundane karma, there is karma bandhan. And when we perform yajñārthāt karma for the pleasure of Krishna, then there is no karma bandhan. Material existence is a struggle to conquer the impediments put forth by the material nature. The asuras keep struggling by denying the Supreme Lord and take this to be happiness, and this is Maya. The asuras, they deny the Supreme Lord and they suffer. And they take this suffering to be happiness. That is the typical symptom of mode of passion, as Kamal Lachan Prabhu was mentioning in one of the recent classes, if you remember. They consider, they enjoy the suffering, those in mode of passion. Dukkeshu sukamanina. They enjoy their suffering. Rajo adhikaha. These are the characteristics of people who are predominantly in mode of passion. Dukkeshu sukamanina. And those in mode of ignorance, they suffer their enjoyment. Anyone understood that? That point I could not understand. What is the meaning of people in mode of ignorance, they suffer their enjoyment? What is the meaning? Anyone can recall that class that Kamal Lachan Prabhu gave? You have the notes. Okay. If you can, within a few seconds, if you can access it, it's okay. Otherwise, later we can discuss. No problem. What does it tell in Bhagavad Gita? But what is the happiness that he is suffering? Nay, that's what he says, that those in mode of goodness, they suffer their enjoyment. Ignorance. Goodness. And those in passion, they enjoy their suffering. They suffer their enjoyment. Anyway, no problem. Maybe we can, next time if anyone meets Kamal Lachan Prabhu, you can ask. Okay. Anyway, so we'll move ahead. So, here he said, but how can you, recap of the last two verses, how can you institute, or this, only this one verse actually, how can you institute the worship of the Lord for Vena destroyed it? So he says, that some authorities believe in the existence of the Supreme Lord Yajnapati. Vena might not believe, but he is not the only authority, some other authorities believe. But what is the proof? Without Lord, there could be no varieties in this universe. Some people have beautiful bodies, some have ugly bodies. How else would you prove? What else could be the reason? Yes, why not? But that is due to their karma. So how can that prove the existence of God? Karma is the cause. That explains. Yes, how does that explain? Karma being material and unconscious cannot give different results. Also, you may say that the devatas, but the devatas are not independent. Thus, one should conclude that the variety is due to the existence of the Supreme Lord. Asti Yajnapatir Nama. Like that he concludes. So now, one may ask, who are those authorities who accept this opinion? I know of one authority who does not accept, that is Vena. So you tell me, who are those authorities who do accept this opinion of yours, that there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So he says, Apikrityam, okay, Manoruttana Padasya Dhruvasyapi Mahipatehe Priyavratasya Rajarsher Angasya Smatpitu Pituhu Idrishunam Atanyesham Ajasya Cha Bhavasya Cha Prahladasya Baleschapi Krityam Masti Gadabhruta Dauhitradi Indrite Mrityoh Shochan Dharma Vimohitan Vargasvargata Vardhanam Prayena Naikatnya Hetuna Apikrityam. This is also the conclusion of Manu Uttanapad, starting from Swayambhuva Manu. Okay, then comes Uttanapad, then comes Dhruva Maharaj, then also Uttanapad's brother Priyavrat Maharaj, my grandfather Anga, okay, and many other great persons such as Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. Any more proof you need? All of them believe in the presence of the Supreme Lord. Okay? Rite Shochan, except for those lamentable people, Dharma Vimohitam, who have strayed away from Dharma. Like Mrityoho Dauhitra Adin. Like Vena, who was the grandson of Mrityu. By addressing Vena as Mrityoho Dauhitra, the maternal grandson of Mrityu, here it is indicated that anyone else who accept this opinion of Vena, they will also go to the abode of Mrityu. Which means those who accept Vena's opinion and reject the Supreme Lord, they can stay with his maternal grandfather in his abode. He will also go to the abode of hell or abode of death, like that. Or he will be dealt with by Vena's grandfather, like that. Varga, Swarga, Apavarganam. The achievements of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Swarga, Moksha are all generally given by the independent Lord to the who is the holder of Gadabhruta. Okay? All the results of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha is provided by the Supreme Lord only. Okay? So therefore one should not reject the presence of Supreme Lord. Okay? So here Srila Vishnu Thakur writes, God's existence is also proved by the experience of other wise people. Gadabhrutaha indicates that the Lord having a sweet, attractive form and not the impersonal Brahman. Okay, one may say that the absolute truth is the proof. But he says, yes, absolute truth is the proof, but that absolute truth is Gadabhruta. He has a form, not the impersonal absolute truth. By using the words mrityoho daihitradin, Prithu is indicating that let those who disagree with my opinion be sent to the city of my maternal grandfather. Death. But the Lord is the cause of the results of people desiring swarga apavarga is proved from the following verses. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. And many verses are there. Yat karma vir yat tapasa jnana vairagya tasyat. All these verses prove that it is the Supreme Lord who is the bestower of the results of swarga, apavarga, naraka, etc. Sorry, not, of course, naraka also. And okay, so Srila Prabhupada here writes that Narottam Das Thakur says that in order to ascertain the right path, one should follow Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya. Prabhupada also quotes this many times. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chittate, Koriya, Aikya. There is some bhajan that Narottam Das Thakur has written where such words come. Anyone knows which bhajan? If you find, you can let me know. Therefore, the best way to mold one's life is to follow in the footsteps of those persons mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this verse mentions about the list of people who accepted the existence of Supreme Lord and conducted their lives accordingly. Vena was condemned by the sages because he rejected the Lord and the sacrifices. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj also rejected him. The opinion of the atheist is that the Lord is not necessary for the success of swarga, apavarga, etc. Just follow the moral principles to maintain peace in society. This is their opinion. And they say, if you want sense gratification, kama, just acquire artha by any means. And regarding moksha, who has seen life after death? Yavat jivet sukham jivet. A person subjected to repeated birth and death cannot accept anything beyond materialistic ideas. But factually, if we study the scriptures, the conclusion is that if we want any of the purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, or the panchama purusharta of prema, we must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So I think we will stop here. I am also a little tired. It's there in Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Can you read the full? It's not given. Just mention that it is.
It is there are various statements of Prema Bhakti Chandrika.
Acha.
And one of them is.
Yeah. Okay.
Prabhupada is mentioned in many places.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
We must always keep within our hearts the instructions of Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. This is the process.
So, we'll stop there because the rest of the chapter is, it's difficult to anyway complete. Better we'll end there, and whoever starts next, they can start from 31st verse. Almost half, more than half the chapter we have completed. So, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Srimad Bhagavat.